minutes. We'll be starting in 9:05.
No problem, Chief.
Thanks. Andre.
Good morning, Mr. Cuthbert.
Andre, I've got a big problem with signal this morning. It keeps on kicking me out because of the load shedding. So I'm just letting you know that I may drop in and off the meeting during the course of the morning.
No problem. Noted.
Good morning, Chair. I think we can proceed, Chair. Shall I stop, do the roll call, Chair? Chair, you're muted.
Yes, you can continue, Secretariat, in terms of whether we call it. And
no problem.
Also, who is in attendance? Thank you.
No. Chair, we call right, and I'll call the names of members. Mr. Pring?
Present, and good morning, colleagues.
Morning.
Mr. Mulder?
Good morning, Chair, and present.
Morning.
Prince Burns Namashe?
Sikona Stalo Namalungu Molweni.
Molo Tata. Molo Chao.
Chair, Ms. Mwatse?
Morning, Chair, and morning, colleagues. I'm present.
Good morning. Welcome.
Chair, Ms. Mutahum.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, colleagues. I'm present.
Chair, Mr. Cuthbert.
Good morning.
Sounded like Mr. Mulder. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, Cuthbert.
Not all white people look the same, Chair. Huh?
Mr. Malamakia.
Yeah. Morning, colleagues. Morning, SEC. I'm present.
And Dr. Swaku.
Morning, morning.
Môre, hoe gaan dit met julle? Agbaar mense. Ek is hier. Goeiemôre.
Ja, agbaar en swaar.
And Chair, that we can proceed, Chair, with the all members are on the platform. We do have apologies, Chair, and I don't know if you want to share the agenda and we proceed from there.
Yeah, no, thank you very much, colleagues. Secretariat, can you just fly to the agenda so that we see where we are in terms of the welcoming? You all welcome in the meeting, and the meeting is officially opened. Let's check Secretariat in terms of apologies.
Chair, we have an apology from Mrs. Hermans, Chair still, and then also Mr. McPherson is not able to attend due to party matters in his constituency. Those are the only two apologies that the rest of the members are on the platform, Chair.
Okay. No, thank you very much. Item number 3. Adoption of the agenda. Can we see by the show of hands any adoption? I don't see anyone. You can
Chair,
okay.
Prince Prince Namashi, Chair.
Yeah, Honorable Prince Prince Namashi.
Shalom, dear Parliament. Ogokuba. Le nkqubo yosuku ngolu hlobo icwangciswe ngalo sivumelane ngayo.
There's a proposal that you adopt the agenda. Any seconder?
Okay, I'm struggling to raise my hands. Is that recognized?
Yeah, there's Honorable Raisibe Mowate.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I second the move of the adoption of the agenda.
Thank you very much. The agenda has been duly adopted. Can I request that I switch off my video as well for power pen? Because you are struggling here with load shedding. We continue. I think today we'll get a briefing by the Limpopo Economic Development Agency on the development and plans for the Sishiho and Nkuwankuwa Industrial Park. Then from there, we'll have a 15 minutes break. We will continue briefing by the Limpopo Economic Development and Tourism and their plans in the Mosina Mokado. I don't know whether we have the Deputy Minister who will going to lead the discussions, or if not, the Deputy Minister will get the MEC from
Recording
the
Department
of Economic Development to lead the discussions and also introduce
Recording in progress.
The administration. Thank you very much. Secretariat, do we have anyone to assist us?
Chair, it is the MEC is on the platform, Chair, so he may introduce the delegation.
Okay. Now, thank you. Over to you, MEC.
Thank you very much, Chairperson Mbuyan. As indicated, my name is Thabo Mbuyan, the MEC for Economic Development, Environment and Tourism in Limpopo. I'm leading a delegation of the administration Yeah, we have the acting HOD, Mr. Latumbu. We also have the acting DDG, Maja. We also have the GCO of Limpopo Economic Development, Takani Makova. We also have the CEO for Musela Makado, SZ, Dadeli Fonolo Masoa. We have the project manager for Dakomu towards the SZ, that is only Hopo, and the delegation. Chairperson, I will indicate that to the CEO, GCO for Limpopo Economic Development Agency, that Makua, to make a presentation on the Nkwankowa and Sishiwo Industrial Park. We know that we have been given some amount to refurbish this Ndatuu Industrial Park. From our side, we are happy that there's been a progress that has been made since that decision has been taken. We, from time to time, visit those areas to check the progress on site and also to check whether we are making impact on those areas. Lucky enough for me, I come from Nkwankowa, Zanin. The industrial park is just next to my corner. I see what is actually happening. I grew up in that area, so I know the problems that are happening. So I will ask the chief executive officer for Limpopo Economic Development, Tatamakua, to take us through the presentation. Tatamakua.
Good morning, Honorable MEC. I take it that and the Honorable Chairperson and the Honorable Members. Can I confirm that I am audible?
No, we are audible enough. You can continue with the presentation. Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the opportunity to present. I'm going to give a presentation, as the Honorable MEC indicated, on the progress relating to the funded industrial park, parks, the Nkwankowa and the Sishiwo. This the outline will first give us an overview of the entire portfolio, which will include other parks, and those then zoom into specifically to those that the requests have been made on the Nkwankowa and Sishiwo and the impact thereof. And some analysis that we have put in place will also share the challenges and what is it that we're planning generally for the industrial parks going forward. So we have in total six industrial parks in the province, in Toyando, in Sishiwo, Nkwankowa, Mkutu, Liwakomu, and Giani, which in total there are 270 units. And insofar as the occupancy is concerned, it's averaging 82%, which the largest one that has been highest percentage is in Giani, is in Kushu, and then as well as Toyando at 88%. So the Sishiwo and the Nkwankowa, which we'll focus on, they are respectively occupied at 79 and 73%. And in terms of the jobs that get supported there, are at 1154 and 3708 respectively. So all in all, the jobs that get created at our industrial park is over 6,000 at a number of 6563. I will then just give an overview in terms of where we are from accountability point of view. Members will recall that we have received support from the DTIC, first in terms of the Nkwankowa, we received an investment of 40 million which was utilized on the installation of clear view fencing and pedestrian gates and boom gates. Also, it was used for the installation of the CCTV cameras and control room guard houses, fixing and improvement of the high mast lights, and also the refurbishment of three factories, in particular, factory number 190, 277, and 282. And then in addition, we have also received support from the DTIC in the amount of 35 million, which was used in the installation also of clear view fencing and pedestrian gates and boom gates. Same applies to CCTV guard houses, fixing improvement on the high mast. And then the investment is underway at amount of 49.9 million in so far as the digital hub is concerned. So just to give an overview of the impact of the funds that have been received with regard to the construction space or the phase of construction, 11 local SMEs were awarded a contract, which then created at the time 225 jobs to make sure that the network that has been done is able to create this this job for on the construction phase. And then beyond construction is a congested environment where we have 46 tenants, creating jobs security at the Ringkongwa of 3708 citizens and additional jobs potential. On the social side, eight local SMEs were awarded contracts during the construction phase, which then created 61 jobs. And then four new tenants moved into the park and they attracted the which then, because they were attracted by the security that has been installed in the park. And then beyond that, also conducive business environment, 57 tenants, job security of 1,154 citizens with other additional job potential. So zooming again on the Nkongo Industrial Park, some facts thereon. This park is situated at the Mopani District Municipality, just outside within Sanin area. And then it is also adjacent to the Nkongwa Township, as well as Den and Mosaba villages. As we have indicated, the 189 factories are built at 161 hectare land. This is in terms of, from an occupation point of view, the capacity is 126,000 square meter. Currently, we are occupying at our tenants that we have at the industrial park are sitting at a capacity of at 73%, which translates to 91,000 out of 126,000 square meter availability. 46 tenants, as we have indicated, have occupied. And then they service both SMME and the national brands. Some of the brands that we have in Nkongwa include companies such as Paper Geo, BS Dry Fruit. They supply both national and international markets. And as we've indicated, those jobs of over 3,000. And then again, just to break down a little bit, perhaps just maybe to look at sectoral analysis thereof, because the first part I've already mentioned it. We have got about 13 companies that are in the manufacturing space within the park. And then we also have six at who are in the agro processing space. And the rest, other sectors of the economy, 22 tenants with a variety of jobs that get created in those sectors. And then Sishu, again, as we have indicated, it is just 11 kilometers outside the Polokwane. It's 154 hectare land. Occupancy at the moment is at 79%, which is just over 118,000 square meter against the total capacity of 151,000 square meter. The target market for this area is also relating to small, medium, and micro enterprises. However, a smaller percentage of industrial park also service government departments for storage, including the pharmaceutical depot of the province. And a total of 57 tenants are occupying this industrial park. And then again, in terms of jobs, just to emphasize, just over 1,000 jobs get created. And again, just a skill analysis, maybe relating to the sector, manufacturing at 22 tenants that we have, and then agro processing, we have got one, and the rest about 38, and with variety of jobs that get created at the Sishu Industrial Park. We just thought we should also just give demographic here, demographics for this for the park in terms of the tenancy that we have. How are those tenancy get categorized? You will notice that insofar as the number of tenants, we have got 57 at Sishiu, of which the 49 of them is represented by male, and then 8 being female, and then from a race point of view, 48 in number of our tenants are black, and then 9 being white, and they are all South African. And then at the in Konkowa, from a tenancy point of view, out of that 46, 41 is male, and then female 5. And from a race point of view, black constitute 15 in number, and white 31. Here, at least we have got young entrepreneurs. At the number 10 of them, 10 tenants are represented by young entrepreneurs. And then we do not have people with disability. And then we have got 6 of the 46 are non-South African tenants. At our, insofar as jobs that get created, it will just be also the stats there. That 1,154, majority of them are male at 879, and then female at 275. And then from the perspective of race, 1,134 black, and then white 20, and then young people here in terms of employment 55, and then we have got here at least people with disability who works in this park at a number of 30, and we don't have at CCU, we don't have non-South African working there. However, in so far as Nkowankowa is concerned, we have got 75 non-South African out of the total of 3,708, and then of which still majority here in this case are black female in terms of employment, and then as well as from a race point of view, black are in the majority, and then followed by white. It's comforting that young people, majority of them are employed in the industrial park at 2,966, and then we are lacking in so far as people with disability working there are concerned. And then just to highlight some challenges that we face at the industrial park that we just need to share with the members of the portfolio committee. The issue of community unrest, where we encounter protests from time to time for people wanting to be employed at the park. So that's some of the challenges that we are dealing with from time to time. There's also issue of economic challenges, economic hardship, which then impact on some of our tenants. Hence, we've noticed that we are not in any park having 100% occupancy rate, but at the same time, from the issue relating to the ability to service the lease rental, we are also having challenges there. So the economic hardship that some of the tenants have encountered, particularly coming from the COVID-19 period, we are struggling, but we are making, in certain instances, making arrangements with the tenants to pay, but at the same time, also putting measures to ensure that those that are able to pay, they must pay what is due. The need for doing high maintenance for the building and infrastructure on an ongoing basis, high cost regarding the title deeds, insofar as the PTOs, the permission to occupy, some of the challenges there. And then, as I indicated, some high level of rental default due to economic challenges. We also see that now we have got a mismatch when you look in terms of the need for maintenance vis-a-vis the rental that we rental rate. Because I must say that the rental that we provide to companies that are occupying in our premises is much lower as compared to the market because of the view of us being a developmental institution to try and support. But that has hampered us in terms of doing maintenance from a point of view of funds that we are able to collect and the need for maintenance thereof. There are opportunities that we have identified relating to the industrial park, the multiple developing towns that are coming from time to time, new opportunities for the industrial park, then those opportunities do exist. And we also see that there is also a relationship with other government departments and the development finance institution to really look at the industrial park. And then we also picked up that as we engage, that there is a high level of appetite from the private sector to partner with LEADER in bringing in or starting a new industrial park. And some of the future plans that we have are looking at from a broad point of view in terms of coordination. LEADER will continue to coordinate and work closely with its shareholder, Limpopo Economic Development, Environment and Tourism Leaders, the DTIC that has supported us, other development finance institutions and the private sector stakeholders. We are looking at other opportunities in terms of the industrial parks that are the new economic or economic nodes that are growing in the province. We are identifying areas such as Bakersfield, Lipalale, Mokopane, Palaburwa, and Nkunzana, a village, to look at the opportunity to develop new industrial parks going forward. Because all the parks that we have are the parks that we are legacy, are from a legacy perspective. So it means that now we need to join efforts with a variety of stakeholders to be able to take matters to the next level. As I conclude, Honorable Chairperson, some of the concessions that I just touched with earlier, our industrial park in terms of rental, I must say that we charge on average 50%, plus minus 50% of the market. So for the reason that I've mentioned earlier. And then in case of youth program, we also look at where there are challenges. We can be able to give some of the tenants rental payment and holiday just to relieve them a bit where there are challenges instead of going deeper into taking legal action. But however, where we realize that the tenants are not meeting their obligation and they're not making any plan, we're then able to exercise legal action. So I hereby submit Honorable Chairperson and members. Thank you very much. Maybe just this one that I've just shown here, maybe it's just to give a glimpse in terms of what typically does look and feel in terms of what is prevailing in the industrial park. As you see, some of the activities, the milling, the manufacturing of roof sheeting, the dry mango processing, and the manufacturing also of the sheeting for roof, and then as well as the floor mats and the bakery activities that are taking place. This just to give a life to what I was just presenting. I thank you very much once again for the opportunity to present.
Thanks. Let me give it back to the MEC. MEC, we have dealt with this one. Which one that's supposed to follow in terms of the presentations?
Okay, we are in your capable hands. I think we presented on the two industrial sites. And if we have time, we can zoom through to the Mosino Makado SNZ. So that when you ask questions, it will be easier. We thought we could also bring in the issue of Peter Home to us as long as we have time, because to us these are critical issues. But if you allow, we can ask the CEO Masuga present. And I must indicate that in our midst we also have the chairperson of the board of the Muslim Academy of President, Dr. Mufas.
Okay. No, thank you very much. You're welcome, chairperson of the board. And also, I think we can continue with the presentation of the other industrial parks, because we cannot have one presentation on this side and one on this side. We can finish the industrial park, then we come to the SEZ, so that when we ask questions, we have dealt with all the presentations. That, I think, will be suffice for us. Over to you, MEC.
We must also indicate that we are happy to be given this opportunity as the leadership of Limpopo to make a presentation about our SEZ. We have gone a long way. I know that it has been a tedious and a very irritating process where people are expecting dust and something tangible. I think we are at a stage where we are no longer going to talk about plans, but we are going to talk about the concrete things. The CEO of Museno Makado, when he talks, he will indicate that we have already done the salt canning. We are waiting for the president and the premier to launch the project. The Fitaho towards the SEZ, we are already paying the money that we have agreed with Glencore. We are buying their supplier, mining supplier input pack, which makes us to be able to apply to DTI for designation, because it's something that is on the ground. People are already doing some work there. So where we are excited that as a province, we are ready. I don't want to waste your time. Let me ask first CEO Masuga to make the presentation. Kulu, if you can make the presentation, and then Dr. Hopo make the presentation. If you could allow yourself to make sure that you share them the time that is allocated. If you could summarize, but go into the detail. Thank you very much, chairperson and members. Let's allow the presentation to be made. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Honorable MEC, the Honorable Chairperson of the Committee and the members and the Chairman of the Board of Calcutta. As the MEC has declared your presence in the meeting, I suppose we'll be guided by the committee chair to allow you the space to make reflections as and when necessary. And Chair, because we press for time, we will not dwell too much into information that we believe is common cause. We'll concentrate on issues that we think are necessary to bring to the attention of the committee, but we contextualize in there as a way of an introduction and background around what we consider to be strategic for this SEZ in the province and in the country in terms of its contribution for the decentralization of domestic supply chains and participation in global value chains and a platform for industrialization. And I would want to move swiftly to critical issues. This slide talks basically around its location, which constitute part and parcel of our competitive advantage, because of the Limpopo has got these unique features of being surrounded by three foreign countries in the region, Botswana, Zimbabwe, and Mozambique, and it being located on the passage that connects South Africa and the rest of the region in the continent. And the map there, we're just demonstrating in practical terms of what that means in terms of the centrality of Limpopo and Musina as it relates to being at the heartbeat of the region, being SADC, around the various routes and destinations that connect Limpopo and the rest of the country and the region. And we also making a point there around the fact that our project has got two sides. One, we call it the north, which is the one on top there, the pink color, the north side, which is within the 20 kilometer radius to the Bay Bridge border post. And the other one, we call it the south, which is on the border between Musina and Makado, hence Musina Makado SEZ. And these two sites, they divided into various clusters. The south side, today we're concentrating on energy and metallurgy. And on the north side, we're concentrating on the three clusters, agro-processing, logistics, and general manufacturing. And you'll notice there on the energy side of things, there is coal there, which is cancelled in red color, because in the beginning, we had a plan to develop a massive coal-fired power station. And in view of the policy changes in the country and in the world, we have abandoned that project. Now we're concentrating on solar energy with prospects of transiting into hydrogen energy because of the partnerships we have entered into with various potential investors from outside the country. And those are the list of projects that we anticipating to implement. And also there are listed projects that cut across all the sectors in the north side. And here we're just providing a summary of the things that we've done in the past couple of years as a way of fitting into our planning phase. And we also want to confirm that in terms of the three, four phases of the SEZ life cycle, we've completed the designation phase. Now we're moving into the next phase of infrastructure installation, business development, before we later move into zone operations. So these are the studies we've completed, but firstly, we also want to put it on record that we've built a fully fledged institution with all the governance structures and systems. It's got the board, it's got the now a staff complement of a little above 30, and it's a fully functional institution. We've done several studies on agro-processing, timber, logistics, SMM incubation center, and we did that with an intention to integrate SMMEs into the life of the SEZ. We've also completed a study for the Musina Dam and the fresh produce market study as well, including the enterprise development on how do we distribute opportunities evenly among the local communities and the people of Limpopo and South Africa, including the master plan on the blueprint for ICT deployment into the zones, and also the smart city model. We've also completed the 3D model for the north side and the EIA process for both for the north side, including the basic assessment for the north side, which then enables us to proceed with the installation of bulk services. We have recently completed the environmental authorization for the south side, very controversial project that has been in the news for some time. And our friends from the CER, I see they are here in the meeting. We have just completed the appeal phase of this project, and we think we are at a point where once we have ticked all the boxes, we're good to go. We have completed the north side, the internal master plan, and the south side, both internal and external master plans, including the township establishment for the north side. We've also completed the minerals identification study and beneficiation strategy, the investment promotion strategy, including the engineering designs for the bulk installation for the north side. And we have secured the ICT partners for both the north and the south side. This is just the work that we have done from a point of view of the planning of this zone, so that when we start with implementation, we are guided by a specific roadmap in terms of what are the things that needs to be achieved. And also in implementing this project, we draw lessons from some of the mega projects that were implemented in the province in the past. Taking example of the Dihob Dam and the MVP power station, and we want to do things differently by ensure that we use the SEZ as a catalyst to open opportunities for the local communities, but also for the overall development of the communities within that corridor of Musina and Makado, and also with the prospects of building a new city. Hence, I spoke of the smart city model. And we're doing these things guided by the following pillars, being the Limpopo Development Plan emanating from the new National Development Plan, district-based development model, regional spatial development framework, new smart city model, external master plan, and investment in developmental infrastructure, such as water, electricity, ICT, roads, human settlement, airports, education and training, and etc. We are reporting here that there are also several projects that we are currently seized with, including the master plan that we are 95% complete. And we've just launched a new study for the logistics sector to map out the prospects of developing an inland dry port at the Bay Bridge. And now we've started with the installation of bulk services. And we're also 90% done with the regional fuel terminal feasibility study with the prospects of implementing that mega project. And we're now on the process of developing the township establishment for the south side post the approval of the EIA. And we're in contact with the Transnet to develop the rail infrastructure to connect to our zones. And we're also working on a renewable energy strategy with the assistance of the USAID and the University of Johannesburg, so that we are able to outline the roadmap for deployment of green energy in the Vembe region and Limpopo. And as part and parcel of our stakeholder engagement, we will be launching our new offices in Musina so that we can be closer to the communities. There are several project-based EIAs that we are conducting, which are for the projects that we... Hello, Chair. We're working on that application for the EIA for those five projects, as indicated there, which also include the very project of solar energy of about 1,000 megawatt capacity over a period of time. And on the north side, we've got an investment pipeline that includes, among other things, the fresh produce market, the development of this regional fuel terminal once we complete the study. We've got an investor that is in the business of producing electric vehicles, the heavy-duty vehicles, buses and trucks. Also an investor in the industrial chemical space and surgical gloves manufacturing. And lastly, we're reporting there that we have partnered with the local college, Vembe TVET College, to develop a new satellite campus inside our zone, which will also contribute in terms of skills development by the BUILD program. This is just an outline of the projects that we are implementing on site to, in view of the $600 million that has been allocated to us over a medium-term period. Already a $200 million project for the building of 14-kilometer roads and stormwater. The service provider is on site. There are three projects for water, which are divided into three: reticulation, treatment plant, and the reservoir, which are being going through SCM process. By next month, we have appointed those contractors and we hand over the sites. Similarly to the two sanitation projects and the integrated security infrastructure, there is a service provider on site designing the infrastructure before we start with the process of building the fence and the development of a 10 MVA electricity substation. So in the next 4 months, there will be about 7 to 8 service providers on site implementing the bulk services on the north side. And we're reporting here that already, as the MEC said, we have done a political oversight visit in July. That was a way of handing oversight to the contractor, but effectively signaling the commencement of the project. And we're reporting here that in terms of local economic empowerment opportunities, we are anticipating to create on average over 2,000 job opportunities in the next 24 months during this phase of the installation of bulk services, including the training of over 2,000 local community members targeting women and youth. And we also anticipating to deploy over $240 million in the hands of local entrepreneurs through the 30% local content rule, which we think is a major input into the local economy. And here we speak of the catalytic stimulus projects that are necessary to support the SEZ, such as connecting roads, human settlement, hospitals, clinics, schools, preschools, airports, intermodal transport facility, police stations, and all that. This is the infrastructure that is required from other government agencies so that they complement the economic activity emanating from the SEZ. Members of the committee would have noticed the launch of the Musina Ring Road some couple of weeks ago by the Minister of Transport, which costed over 600 million rand. And we think this is a good example of what we call catalytic stimulus project to add to the work that has been done by the SEZ to change the developments in those communities. And we think all these projects will contribute towards bringing us closer to realize the goal of building a new smart city in that Musina and Makado development corridor. And we're also working closely with the municipality and the Department of Public Works to use the existing airfield to develop a new Musina airport so that we can build the capacity for airlifting strategy for both cargo and people. And we're also working on the project to develop the Musina Dam. We have completed the pre-feasibility study. Now we're engaging with DWS to move to the bankability phase before the implementation of this mega project, which will bring water not only for the benefit of the SEZ, but the entire region of Vembe, to some extent, the Capricorn region. We're highlighting here challenges as we move towards completing the presentation. One is the ramping up of the infrastructure rollout in the north side, and the unlocking of the funding for the south side so that we can start with implementation, finalization of the project-based EIA applications, acceleration of investment promotion and signing off of new investors, unlocking the water resources from Zimbabwe parallel to the work that we're doing on developing the Musina Dam. And there's a good work that the Minister of Water is doing. By later in the year, around November, December, they will be signing a bilateral agreement with Zimbabwe to commence with that project of cross-border water transfer scheme. And we also looking at securing funding for the Musina Dam so that it can be taken to the bankability phase and subsequently implemented. And also with the assistance of the USAID and the University of Pretoria, we're working on assisting municipalities to develop capacity to understand the power purchase agreement so that we can later lock them in into the energy, green energy space, and they be offloaded from the grid because of the new capacity that we develop. We also have been having a challenge of the land transfer from the National Department of Agriculture for the north side so that we can then have full ownership of that property that we develop in the SEZ, and also the land transfer from the National Public Works so that we can deliver the Musina Airport. Once all these things are done, we think this project, MMSEZ, has got the potential to bring strategic socioeconomic impact in those communities of Musina, Makado, the entire Vembe district, and Limpopo as a province in terms of the growth of its economy. And Chair, that basically concludes our presentation. Thanks very much.
Yeah, no, thanks. I think you said there's a chair also of the board. If you want to at least a few words, chair of the board, you're welcome to can present yourself and some few words around what has been presented already. Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Let me see. I'll take less than 2 minutes. Mine is just to amplify and hopefully leave you with a message that the development of this project, the importance is well known to all of us as South Africans, but the urgency is critical to be noted, because this competition, this worldwide competition, in the world, according to United Nations, there's about 6,000 SEZs. 4,000 of those, or 67%, are in East Asia. Of those 4,000, 2,500 are in China. In Africa, there's about 250 SEZs. With Nigeria having quite a large number, together with Kenya. So we're running a bit behind in terms of development of our own SEZs. And if we look at the successful special economic zones worldwide, there are those that have been able to speed up, firstly, their development, and secondly, maintain the concessions and promises that they've made to investors. And the measure of success, which is really broadly what we are aiming for ourselves, we're benchmarking our SEZ on the global success measurement indicator of successful indicators, which will be a boost in GDP, an increase in FDI, and an increase in export. In China, which has the majority of this SEZ, the impact the special economic zones have made is estimated at about 20% of the GDP of China now comes from directly or indirectly from SEZ activities. 46% of their FDI comes directly or indirectly from their SEZ. 60% of their exports, directly or indirectly from their SEZ. So we have benchmarks, Chair, and the members of the committee. All what we need to do is to move as quickly as possible because there is competition. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Doctor, the board chairman. Which presentation is needed now, Secretariat?
Okay. Chair will be guided by the
okay.
The following.
Chair, thank you very much.
Okay. The MEC, will guide us.
Yeah.
MEC Mukoni.
Thank you very much, Chair. If we could go to Dr. Hopo, the project manager for Peter Homutuwazu. Hopo, please just cut it to the chase, making sure that you give us the important aspect of the incident. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Chair, through you, MEC, we beg your indulgence. That's Masoha.
Yes, Masoha.
Honorable MEC and Honorable Chair, as you would remember, MEC, we have made an arrangement with the Secretariat to be excused between 10 and 10:30, ourselves and yourself, to attend to another pressing matter, and then we'll then be able, as per the program, come back to finalize the work that we have started. So, that having said, MEC, I thought you would request for permission to be excused for that half an hour so that we can come back later to connect to that other urgent critical matter. Thanks, Chair.
It's because I'm interested in the portfolio committee. I had a lot of meetings today. It's cabinet day, and we are not allowed to attend anything. So I was interested because this committee is a very critical one, Chair. You have to bear with me that I'm torn into pieces to attend to some of these issues. But let's allow Hopo to present. I think we have able women and men. The chairperson of the SEZ is here, the HOD is here. But I will also open the meeting, and as he finished presenting, I'll be back because I already know the presentation. I think Masoha, I think, will be covered in that session. Let Hopo present. By the time he finished presenting, I'll be back into the platform. Thank you, Chair, without making any disturbance. Thank you. Hopo, if you can present.
Yeah, no. We will continue with the presentation, Chair. We will not, okay, on the side, yes, you can have other meetings, but we will not release you on this meeting so that when there's a clarity seeking questions needed, as a political head, we'll be able to have a response. Thank you very much. We can continue with the presentation.
Chair.
Yes.
My hands up. May I address you, please?
Okay. You are welcome.
Just to say, Chair, that I imagine the purpose of today's meeting as well as the various briefings we are received is because there would have been a concern about what's going on at these particular projects. So I don't think it does well or bode well for accountability and, you know, a positive reflection on this particular department and, you know, provincial government if they're wanting to duck out of meetings that they've been asked to attend. And I would just caution them not to do that, because if we are, you know, requested to go to a particular meeting in a province, we make sure that we honour that agreement, and I would imagine that we would be paid the same courtesy.
Okay, no. You noted. Honourable Cuthbert, and we have disseminated that information. They know they can have just their 1-2 meeting outside of this, but when we deal with questions and clarity seek question, I definitely concur with you. They will be here for response. Can you continue for now in the meantime with the presentation?
Yes, Chairperson. My name is Soli Khobong, as the MEC indicated, and I would like to take this opportunity to greet the chairperson and members of the portfolio committee and also the honorable MEC. I'm going to present in about 10 minutes a proposed special economic zone called Fetakgomo-Dubatse SEZ, a proposed SEZ by the economic cluster MINMEC, and this SEZ is in the what we call the Steelport Valley, often referred to as the Bushveld Igneous Complex, the eastern limb of our province. Now, the work that we are doing here is centering around four main things. It's firstly, I must indicate to the committee that we have secured land, which is 1,220 hectares, with an additional 36 hectares, which we have acquired through a partnership with Glencore, and I'll talk to that briefly. Now, there's three areas that we are focusing on. One is to roll out infrastructure so that we can start the work there. And then secondly is to prepare ourselves to submit the designation of this SEZ. And then third is to make sure that we have got investors on site who are already locating into the SEZ. Now, you will see there is a partnership between the DTIC, the province led by LIDET, as well as the Skukuni District Municipality and the Fetakgomo-Dubatse as a local municipality, that we are working on, and we've got very clear roles and responsibilities around which what each party does. The next slide will then reflect on our key focus areas, and I don't want to waste time on those. It's the eight areas that we are focusing on, and I'll quickly brief the committee around progress around how we are doing in those few areas. Then the why is this SEZ so important, or why does it have a potential? It's because of its strategic location. The members will know that the area has got a high concentration of over 40 mining companies in platinum group metals, as well as chrome, including vanadium. Now, it offers a good opportunity for us to then go downstream in terms of mineral beneficiation, but also to manufacture goods that the mines use in their daily operations to locate it in this SEZ. And of course, you also have one of the two largest smelters in the world of chrome, and we think it offers a good opportunity for us to focus on mineral beneficiation as well as, of course, agro-processing. Now, the next slide is just a reflection of our vision for this SEZ. We want to establish a center of excellence for sustainable solutions in green energy manufacturing. agro-processing and mineral beneficiation. And right at the, in the middle is the founding clusters of this SEZ and some of the work that we are doing, which I'll quickly touch on. Why we also think companies will be located into the SEZ is the next slide. We're currently busy, the province has allocated us 70 million rand as seed capital to start this work. 35 million was last year and 35 million this current financial year. And this money is really allocated towards making sure that we start in enabling infrastructure in the area, so to entice investors. And of course, we pride ourselves in terms of proximity to mining operations and the issues of renewable energy that we are dealing with. And we are a global, we have got a global leadership in the production of chrome as well as platinum group metals. Now, the other area that thing that we pride ourselves here is the water that we have. There is a developed dam, Chairperson, with a capacity of 348 million cubic meters, which is abundant water that can really sustain the this development that we are talking about. And of course, we are currently doing some work around making sure that our logistics platform is reliable, because the area is quite landlocked, so you need reliable roads and rail network to deal with the issues towards the borders in our country. Now, the next slide is just a reflection of what industries we are currently talking to and those that are already in our pipeline and the partners that we are talking to. And this is our aim to build an industrial ecosystem in the area of mineral beneficiation, particularly around hydrogen fuel cells, noting that hydrogen is coming from platinum group metals. And of course, there is investors who are talking to us around platinum refinery. We also, in partnership with Samanco, talking to the alloys, super alloys and stainless steels opportunities. And we have just listed some of the key role players that we are working with. That is Anglo American Platinum, Glencore, as well as Samanco and the Mineral Council of South Africa. Then on the manufacturing side, the area that is quite a low-hanging fruit where we have quite keen interest from the investors is on the manufacturing of components and machinery that are utilized in the mining operations. And in this regard, we are also just finalizing a memorandum of agreement with the manufacturing equipment manufacturing of South Africa to also support us with their members in the location into this SEZ. We do have a pipeline of investors, which I will reflect on in a moment, who are ready to locate into this SEZ. And of course, renewable energy, hydrogen, we are part of the Hydrogen Valley discussion, led by the Department of Science and Innovation. Agro-processing, cotton, and we're also talking to citrus growers association, also the areas of red and white mint. And of course, in terms of automotives, we think and we are pushing very hard through NACAM towards electric vehicle manufacturing components in the area, including in the vehicle aftermarket replacements. In the middle is the training and development that we are building through a hubs and spoke approach with our partners of CITAS as well as the TVET based in Skukuni, including the universities in the province and the Department of Higher Education. Now, if I can just go to a slide which shows critical milestones for us to start work, and we are anticipating that we will start really rolling out the implementation of this SEZ at the beginning of the calendar year, when we have satisfied these following milestones. The first one is that by September, we will finalize the notarial lease. And then secondly is the signing of the quadripartite agreement, which is that partnership between DTIC the province as well as municipalities. We are just awaiting DTIC to finalize the signing. Then we have done the skills audit for the entire district, and we are rolling out workshops with the aim of developing a skills development plan in partnership with the mining industry and the CITAS. We have got the EIA now approved, Chairperson, with no appeals, so there were no issues, and we do have a record of decision. We are now integrating our work by having a partnership with one of the existing mining companies, which is Glencore, who currently owns an industry next to the SEZ. It's called the Mining Input Supplier Park. Our aim is to expand this Mining Input Supplier Park by locating the investors that we have and extending it into 280 hectares. And then I've just jumped the section 54 approval, where we are corporatizing the entity, and the MEC has received the section 54 concurrence with Treasury. So we'll be ready to roll out the corporatization of the entity to finalize it by October. We don't have issues, Chairperson, of electricity. The current setup, there is a substation in the area, and the current industrial park that I'm referring to is utilizing one third of the electricity. So phase 1A of our work will kick in immediately as soon as we finalize the transactional agreement with the partnership with Glencore, where we are going to have a majority ownership of the industrial park. Then we are just updating the SEZ master plan to be ready for the application for designation. And the water, as I said, there are no issues of water, even in the short term. Reliable water supply, which we will. And we are finalizing township establishment in November this year. And of course, we are submitting application to the critical infrastructure program of the DTIC to support us with the construction of the security perimeter fence for the 280 hectares, which we will submit by latest next week, Friday. And then lastly, the province is considering the funding for the top infrastructure, where we can locate the six investors that we already have. And the MEC is supporting us in this regard. Now, I'm not going to go through all the slides, Chair, except to go to a slide which shows the list of investors that are ready. Maybe before I even go there, just to indicate the phases of our development in summary. There is a slide that shows the development phases that we are planning for this development. If you just go to that slide with development phases, yes, that slide. Our phase 1A, where we want to move in the next 4 to 6 months, is upon acquisition of the industrial park to expand bulk infrastructure and then locate the six investors that we already have. And then our entire phase one is the 36 hectares plus the 208 hectares where we are applying for funding to set up a security fence to expand the mining input cluster that we want to develop. And phase two is then to go east of R555 road on the 908 hectares to set up heavy industries like a refinery and other heavy industry opportunities. Then in the following slide is just to share with you what I mean by these phases. Right at the left, on your left, it will be phase 1A, which is 36 hectares. This is where we already have six investors who are ready to move in the next 6 months. I think the delay from us is to quickly get the top buildings going up so that we don't lose some of these committed investors. But of course, we have now finalized pre-lease agreements where we want to lock them in to ensure that they invest, they don't move to somewhere else. And then as you see, towards your right will be where we then expand the 280 hectares plus the 36 hectares which is our phase one of development, and we think we'll be able to start going into the entire phase one in the next financial year. The next slide, in summary, is the investors that I'm referring to who are ready to locate. You can see the estimated start is 6 months. Some are for exports, some are not. We do have a top structure requirement in terms of square meters. We do have their estimated infrastructure need. They are currently busy with the bill of quantities and also designs. And we are projecting that they will bring in 5.4 billion of investment into this development. Then the next slide is the entire phase one as we move into the 280 hectares. These investors require quite a larger space, and they are also eager in the next 12 months to start work around the development. So, Chair, without wasting much time, we are doing a lot of work around SMEs and skill development work, where we are finalizing a community license program, skills management program, as well as an SME management program and a database development program, with the aim of making sure that the communities have got ownership of this project, especially from a procurement and employment point of view. Chair, the critical two roads that SANRAL is working on, it's a make or break for this SEZ, is both R37 and R555. R555 links to Witbank, Marble Hall, Witbank to Johannesburg, and then R37 links to Polokwane to Bait Bridge. So we really are quite excited that SANRAL has started to work on these roads to ensure that they are user friendly for our business. I think I should mention that as we do this work, we must make sure that we also develop the region, especially from a smart city development. We have got a private sector commitment of 1.6 billion rand. The work that they have already started on the ground, and it will be rolled out next year, in the next calendar year, which is a 280 million shopping mall, as well as a 330 million private hospital, as well as a private school. I think SANRAL is very, very critical for us, not SANRAL chairperson, I beg your pardon. Transnet, in the next slide, we have had some site visits and engagements with Transnet to develop a multi-user rail facility in this area, with the aim of making sure that we build a formidable logistics platform. Then we're also dealing with the issues of ICT, the broadband, together with our partners, which is going to be rolled out across the SEZ. And of course, we are benchmarking with our sister SEZs, especially Kuka, and we are finalizing a memorandum of understanding with an automotive special economic zone, because they are one of the SEZs that was piloted by the DTIC using a quadripartite or tripartite agreement approach, and we are following that, and we are really learning from Tshwane what they did to make sure that the implementation is quicker. In summary, lastly, Chair, and these are our next steps, is to really finalize most of the work that we are doing around corporatization of the entity by October, and then we'll finalize township establishment in November. And we will then deal with the issues of the mining input supplier park and rolling out bulk infrastructure in there. I mentioned that we are locking those investors through pre-lease agreements. And we also be following up with the DTIC upon submission of the funding for the perimeter fence through the CIP. And I think we'll then be ready as a province to make a submission for designation of Vetakgom Motuwatse as a special economic zone in the first quarter, in the last quarter of this financial year. The next slide is just the partners that we are working with, Chair, just for noting. These are the investors and partners that are supporting us in the development of these projects. And we do have a website, www.ftsez.co.za. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
No, thank you for the presentation. I think now we are done with presentations, all of them. We can now get back to the discussions. Secretariat, you wanted to say something?
Chair, no, you're correct. We are open to question and answer, so members can proceed, Chair, through your...
Okay. Okay. No, thank you very much. Members, here are the three presentations. Now we need to start engaging. We believe that the MEC is here and all of them are here to respond. I can see, let us show by the show of hand, if you want to engage the presentation. I see a hand of Honorable Mark Cuthbert Mattis. From there, Honorable Prince Benz Ngamashe. Yeah, let's start with that note, on that note again. We'll continue that note, Honorable Cuthbert, followed by Honorable Benz Ngamashe.
I can't help but look at these presentations and feel like I'm having flashbacks of Nkomazi when we were in Mpumalanga. There seems to just be a total lack of local provincial capacity to actually implement these kinds of projects of such scale. And it seems that there's not enough done to actually unblock bottlenecks that, you know, require to be unblocked. You look at all the regulatory hurdles and, you know, the various processes that need to be followed before you can even break ground. And then you see a place like Mercado SCZ, which is now, if I'm correct in saying, 5 to 6 years later, and there's still not been much progress. And it seems as if because the regulatory burden is as high as it is, that people try and cut corners, and we then end up in, you know, disputes with communities who are, you know, opposed to these kinds of development taking place. And the fact is that the longer these things are delayed, the more difficult it actually makes to get them off the ground. And I think the one point I do agree with from one of the presenters was, unfortunately, you know, investors will only hang on for as long as they will. And then they decide to move on to greener pastures. So I hope we do have some DTIC representation here, but I do just want to understand from DTIC's perspective what they're actually doing to assist these provincial governments to help them to implement these projects. I mean, if there's something, and I mean, there's a whole laundry list of things that, you know, particularly at Musina Mercado that are to be implemented, you know, is it not maybe time to reduce the scope of these kinds of projects and for us to maybe look at just getting the basics right, such as, you know, municipal service delivery, such as electricity supply, water supply, and the rest of it, instead of having, you know, ideas of bullet trains and smart cities? Because it seems like we can't even do the basics, but, you know, there's an expectation that we can achieve the unbelievable. And I think that that's, you know, maybe something that requires a little bit more thought. Then also a specific question in relation to Musina Mercado. Can we please get an update from the Limpopo government and from the MEC as to, you know, where the dispute between local communities on the ground that there, you know, was a challenge with the environmental impact assessment? And, you know, what kind of feedback can you give us in that regard? Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Cuthbert. Honorable Benz Ngamashe, then followed by Honorable Nswak.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and honorable members. Maybe, Chair, the first thing to do is to welcome the presentations led by the member of the Executive Council for Limpopo Provincial Government. And I think, Chair, part of what I want to check, firstly, is the extent of coordination in relation to the district development model in terms of the expected role players. To what extent are they fully coordinated? And if there are challenges, where are those challenges? And what is it that perhaps they are doing to mitigate those kind of challenges? That's the first one. The second one, Chair, is that, you know, Musina, as the presentation demonstrated, is at a very strategic location in that it talks to the opportunities created by African Continental Free Trade Area. Especially if you look into the interconnection between South Africa, Botswana, Zimbabwe, Mozambique. And you can see the opportunities that are there. Now, at the level of regulatory instruments, are there any bottlenecks? And if there are bottlenecks, what is it that they are doing so as to circumvent those, so as to ensure that when we talk about issues around stimulating industrialization, at least we are able to demonstrate that we are not only talking about opportunities that are still oncoming, but we're talking about that which is currently in existence, such that even if we were to go there today, we will be able to see some demonstrable and visible programs indicative of progress and going forward. Otherwise, Chair, in the presentation, you can see it is going to bring a lot of development and also change, facelift the outlook of the province. By the way, Chair, the reality of the situation is that a significant portion of the areas under scrutiny. They have a historical package that stems from part of the TBVC states, as well as yourself governing territories, which was part of the orchestrated project to exclusively keep these communities in the periphery in terms of the mainstream development. That was existing and taking place in what was called South Africa. One of the times South Africa was only for white people, and black communities were by design located in these rural hinterlands. And if they found themselves in South Africa, they were only in South Africa to the extent that they will serve as laborers, such that they would even have to have a permit to be in South Africa. So it's a mammoth task to reintegrate, reorganize, and make sure that it's part of the mainstream. We appreciate that. And now we want to make sure that the programs that we see and the time frames that are set should be implemented in ways that people in Musina would not want to go to Johannesburg for purposes of getting opportunities. Opportunities must be created there, because that is the purpose of creating these special economic zones. The special economic zones must contribute intensively in terms of economic generation, especially when it comes to promotion of exports. And when we promote exports, we must promote exports as finished products, not as raw material. Because if, for instance, we talk about mining sector, if we export raw material, it means we are also exporting jobs. So there's no local beneficiation. We must also get a sense in terms of the current planning as it would relate to the value chain, so that if we deal with issues of export, we are exporting that which is a finished product. And all the segments of the value chain create opportunities for local people to participate fully, not only in the primary production, but also in the processing, in the logistics, all these value adds. We must get that sense from what is part of the plan and part of that which is currently implemented. we are not interested, Chair, much on job opportunities. Yes. We must now be talking about the actual jobs. So far, yes, we see the number of jobs that will be created, but so far, are there any jobs? If there's infrastructure, is there anything that we can see if we can go there? Now, the last thing, Chair, is that Limpopo is a rural province. And as a rural province, obviously, it's not only metropolitan in terms of the geographic space. It is also cosmopolitan, which means there are communities under the jurisdiction of traditional leadership. How are traditional leaders, as custodians of the land, part of the stakeholder engagement processes? Because what you don't want is a situation where after having made significant work, you are hamstrung in the process by lack of inclusive approach to development. Can we get a sense in terms of the involvement of both traditional leadership as well as local leadership at a municipality, at a ward? Because that's very important. So as to make sure that our communities are part of the developments around them. They own them. Not only own them, but also in terms of equity and other beneficiation programs, they participate. So these are the issues, Chair, I wanted to check. And again, welcome this report, which really promises to change the outlook of Limpopo province. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you, Honorable Benz Namashe, Honorable Dr. Ntswak, followed by Honorable Treng.
Hey, Chair.
Thank you.
Ntswaku, yeah. Mqini, or you can just say Mqini. Mqini Ntswaku. Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, you are audible, Mqini Ntswaku.
Mhlekazi, kaloku, hey. No problem. No, I call. It's not good. It's not going to be long. I wanted to check in terms of the is there. I wanted to get a clarity in terms of the presentation. Is that the presenters, what are they looking for, Ganyega? Like maybe the advice on how to move forward, and I don't know, you know. I think I got depressed because a project that was supposed to be creating employment is not actually taking off, which is quite very sad. And after all this time, money has been invested into that. So I wanted to check, just to clarify, ukuthi bafuna lama blockages yini kanye kanye, like since as if ngathi man yonke into, everything that has been planned, things that they just drag and drag and drag and drag for years. And I don't know, in many projects that our colleagues are coming to present, Chair, it's a very sad state, you know, things are not working well and challenge is there. And I always think that when you're starting with a project, don't you make sure that, you know, do analysis if it's going to work, what do you need, the needs analysis. It's like everything always changing. The ball game is changing. The goalpost is changing every time. And I don't know who stands to benefit on that stuff. You know, it's very depressing because these SEZs, these areas are the ones that are actually are good for the SMMEs to operate, and they will employ local. So I just wanted to really check in terms of is Opela in this project? When is this project going to end? I mean, even the values of the numbers of people you're saying that you are creating jobs. Bro, I think that if I'm not mistaken, again, as in the stats, like probably almost 4 million people that, I think 2 to 4 million people roughly that they've lost their job now. And it's even worse, the ones that are unemployed and the work seekers and all of that. The number is very huge. And we're still talking, and we're still talking about creating employment of 20 people, 10 people, 10, 5, 2, 4. When are you going to think of absorptive labor, like massive, you know, 2,000, 3,000, 5,000 absorption of people, 20,000 people in a one project, and then you've got 10 or 20 projects running? So I don't know, Che. I don't know. Something that maybe the committee and the department needs to reflect on. Are we on the right track with this thing? Why are the projects are not working? And then we come and, you know, we always say lessons learned. No, the lessons learned. We can do better. I mean, it's very, very depressing. I'm not going to lie to you. Nothing actually seems to be working and moving forward. And especially for our people, as my colleague has put it very clear. Honorable Ben Ngamash, with these areas there, it was the damned and the condemned areas there. I can put them as the concentration camps created by the apartheid, you know, the government. And at this point in time, we need to change those people's lives. And we are in power. I can say that black people are in power, and Kongolese is in power. And there was supposed to be a change in terms of the people's lives. Now we always not join the queue of lamenting and all of that. I'm just saying we must get to the solutions and all of that. But it's something that we'll be able to reflect on and say, what is wrong? Why these things, these projects are not working and creating jobs for the local economy? Because if these SEZ are in the township there, people don't have to take taxis and all of that. They are there in the townships. Then you can grow the economy there in that township. Now, there was when I read this presentation, someone was saying that there's an abundance of water in Fitakhomo. What in Limpopo? I can say Limpopo, or let's say Fitakhomo Tubas. Is that true? Is that true? I wanted to check that. So there's an abundance of water. There's no shortage of water in Limpopo. But that's ironic because in the villages and the areas around there, there's no water. People are still going to the, you know, they're going to the, what you call the rivers to go and actually go. I was so shocked when I read that. Okay, they say the water is coming from that dam. I think what the, I forgot the name of that dam, the Hope or something dam. So, it actually created my other idea. Maybe that water, the government should be making AMA projects so that they can start pumping up and cleaning up that water first, have a water waste management, clean up the water and supply to the communities. So I was so shocked and I wanted clarity. Is there enough water now in Limpopo? And it can actually you know, feed Abanda Bani. So I don't have much, you know, a chairperson, but it just that it's a depressing and a sad state to see that, but these projects have not been you know, implemented. It's just every time as a project, there's a blockage here, blockage there, and all of that. So what we wanted to see was to see these projects actually delivering to the people. But we shall see. No, thank you very much. That was just my, you know, the 2 cents worth. I don't have much to comment on this. Thanks.
Thanks, Mpini Mthwaku. Then over to you, Honorable Tring.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, just a few questions from my side. Firstly, from the presentation on the Nkowakowa Seshigo SEZ. I think it would be important, the presentation that I have seems to be an outdated presentation. The one given seems to have been the updated presentation. So I think it's important that we get the updated presentations. I'm not sure if it was sent, but I did check my emails and I don't seem to have had the updated presentation from the Limpopo Economic Development Agency on the Nkowakowa and Seshiga. But some questions here, Chair, is what is the leveraging impact of the SEZs, these two SEZs, Nkowakowa and Seshiga? So we've got these millions of rands of investment. Can we quantify the return on that investment and the leverage? So if we've invested, for example, 10 million, when you look at the leveraging impact, we now have a return in terms of the economy, 20 million, for example, return in terms of growth of the economy in the area. So what's the leveraging impact of these two SEZs? The second observation, at Seshego, I noticed that from the agro-processing business at Seshego SEZ, 200 jobs were created from one tenant, but 422 jobs from 22 in the manufacturing side. So clearly, the creation of jobs, we're looking at labor intensive rather than capital intensive, and maybe manufacturing is now moving more towards capital intensive. That's investing in machinery and so on rather than people. But clearly, we should be focusing, if we wanted to look at reducing unemployment, on the labor intensive aspects. And here we can see one tenant, 200 jobs. 22 tenants, 400 jobs. You know, so I think clearly the focus should also be on trying to grow the agro processing sector, because it would actually create more jobs. The third question with regards to the Seshigo and Nkowakowa SEZs. Besides the uprisings from the communities on with regards to the uptake or the intake of foreign labor, what other challenges? I haven't heard whether there were any challenges, if any, from a municipal infrastructure perspective, because we do know that with some of the other SEZs that we visited, that there were challenges from the municipal infrastructure in terms of bulk water supply, electricity reticulation, and so on. So are there any challenges from the municipal infrastructure perspective? Then with regards to the Musina presentation, I'm not sure whether the cancellation of coal-powered fire station is the way to go. You said that this is in keeping with policy changes. I think we are shooting ourselves in the foot. Most of your first world countries built their economies on coal. They've become industrialized and they've moved to where they are because of their use on coal. Australia is shutting down their coal power fire stations. And some of those communities are now finding themselves in the dark because they have not been able to prepare sufficiently to bring on the new green-powered energy supplies. And so while yes, it may be great, the policy change, we're shutting down our coal power stations and we're not moving in that direction. So I think that it is premature. I think that we should have actually done both. We should have actually gone ahead with the coal power fire station while developing cleaner or green energy simultaneously. And so the second aspect here is I appreciate the coke and the ferrochrome, stainless steel, titanium, the magnetite smelters, the projects. But my question with regards to all of these minerals that are there, what is the beneficiation numbers from these projects? You know, the coke, the ferrochrome, stainless steel, titanium, and so on. What is the beneficiation numbers that we actually have from these particular projects? And then secondly, looking at the raw materials exported, what percentage of those raw materials are actually beneficiated? And if you have those figures, so from the materials, the raw materials mentioned, what percentage is exported? What percentage is actually beneficiated? And in terms of job creation. Then my last question on the Musina project would be, or SEZ, and the development around Musina, the airport, the dam, the smart city. What I did not hear are timelines for completion. So what are the timelines for completion and implementation? I think that as MPs, we've had some brilliant presentations on paper, brilliant. But when it comes to completion, implementation, compliance with EIAs and so on, economic assessments, environmental assessment plans, we seem to come stuck when it comes to implementation and completion. So what are the timelines for these, the airports, the dam, smart cities? And then with the Sekhukhune district and the Fetahomo Tubatse SEZ, I see, again, so my question here with regards to the vanadium, chrome, platinum, chrome and iron ore production, can we have some figures with regards to beneficiation projects with regards to these particular minerals? And the same as my previous question, what are the numbers and what is the percentage of raw material, of these particular raw materials, what percentage? So if we extract 100 tons of chrome, for example, or 100 tons of platinum, how much of that is beneficiated? What percentage is beneficiated? What percentage is exported in its raw form? And then perhaps just the one concern with regards to the smelters. My understanding, particularly, you know, the smelters and the one out in Richards Bay, I believe, from what I read previously, the amount of electricity that it takes to keep those smelters running is enough to actually run a metro, a city, like Etiquini, for example. So, you know, it's enough to electrify the homes of some 3 million people, one smelter. So with the constraints that we currently have, the energy supply constraints, and the smelters that we're looking at building in the Sekhukhune district, how are you able to mitigate the challenges that we currently have when it comes to actually building these smelters? And I'm not saying that they shouldn't be built, certainly that they should, but with the constraints that we have with Eskom, how are you going to mitigate the keeping those smelters going? And then my final question, Chair, is what guarantees do we have? What guarantees can the MECs and those who have actually presented give us with regards to the critical milestones that have been set particularly the milestones also that have been given in the Sekhukhune district, as well as the other presentations. There's milestones that need to be met. What guarantees are there that they will be met? And if they are not met, whether consequence management will follow? I think those would be my questions, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members. I think I have some few clarity-seeking questions as well, just to package them so that when you get the responses, it's part of them. MEC and the acting HOD, considering the natural beauty of Limpopo-Mosina-Mokado region, will the department accept and fund the proposal for filming ecotourism written and produced by Black locals? And what will be the funding limit if there's any? Just with the news yesterday of further discovery of archaeology, which preceded the Mapungubwe, how are the departments and the province gearing themselves for trade regime with the west, east of the nation that enhanced by Mokado industrial plans? MEC, we know in Thulamela local municipality, Toyando, there were factories at Shaindima industrial zone, which hosted a number of Black industrialists. And today, those factories are deliberated. What are the plans to revive the area for economic and strive again? The last one, maybe seeing that Mosina-Mokado SEZ will be generating billions of rent and is going to be in the industrial gate of Africa. What are the plans to revive? There's an airport there, Manavuta Airport, between Mokado and Thulamela municipality, which falls under the Vembe district municipality. I think those are all questions. We expect to get the clarity-seeking questions. And also, if we are not able to respond now, you will be given 7 days for a written response to respond to the honorable members. Over to you, MEC.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. The questions that have been asked are very interesting questions. We will attempt to give honest answers to members. And as you have indicated, where we are unable to give data or statistics, we'll then make sure that we send in a follow-up. Let me start with the things that you have asked about the Thulamela Shayandima Industrial Park. We have different industrial parks in the province. We have Gwanko Industrial Park, we have Sushiwu Industrial Park, we have Shayandima Industrial Park. I can say almost all townships, former Bantustan townships, they have some kind of industrial parks. But what we have then said is that our main focus for now, it will be Goankowa, Sushiro, and Shayandima. In the other industrial parks, there are activities that are taking place. It is an ongoing work. Because this industrial park, as the members of the clearly said, they are a source of economic activities in our province. And I think what we might want to do is to give a detailed report on this other industrial park, so that members will see what are other activities that are taking in. I think when the HOD will speak on issues that we have partnered with DKIC on the especially on Goankowa and Sisiro, just to make sure that they will complete this revitalization of this industrial park. On the recent discovery of archaeological discovery by the University of Venda, I think you will know that there's an ongoing program of Mapunguze Heritage Site, which together in tourism, together ourselves and the National Department of Environment and Tourism, who are working on those issues. And as I just mentioned to the professor, it is an early days. We will be able to deal with that, but we will also incorporate it. It is my view that we will incorporate it as a part of the SEZ. As you know, that this is one of the oldest trading ports in Africa. We are discovering a lot of things. We will then be able to put up a team which will deal with those issues. We attempted to have a film industry as leader. It has not taken off very much because of our budget cut. We had to cut the budget. If you have seen, there was a famous American artist or superstar who went to Woodspray to do his film there. This has put a challenge onto us, and as we're talking about the ecotourism film industry and that we would have to zoom ourselves into that, but that's something that we would deal with. All the broader issues that members have raised, we came up with these two SZ, Musina Makado and Fitakomu SZ, based on the minerals that are there. It took us time, but where we are, like we said, that as a provincial government, we have put 600 million to kickstart the SEZ, Musina Makado SEZ. We have done the short term. Already the contractors are on site dealing with the bulk infrastructure. We have engaged the South African private sector, which has showed interest. And we are happy that at some point when you come, we'll be able definitely to say, these are concrete things that we are actually doing. In terms of the EIA is the one that has taken long time. We can proudly say that at that phase, we have done all professional studies. Now we are no longer talking about the EIA, because the EIA has been awarded. There were appeals. Appeals have been attended to. The only thing that we can't stop is for people to go to court, because if they are constitutional right, but what we can assure the committee is that we are ready for any eventuality, because we have appointed professionals, we have done all necessary studies that are needed. In terms of consultation, despite COVID-19, all and sundry were consulted. People came to me to ask me that we are not consulted. The Musina Makado, under the leadership of the chairperson and the CEO, made it a point that all the chiefs in Vembe were consulted, and next to the project were consulted. The community where the land whether the Musa Makado project is going to be implemented, were given by the community. There were few people that were not happy. Those people were also consulted. So you must know that the EIA process also includes the community consultation. And I can guarantee you, with the district development model, we are also involving the municipality. Municipalities are also involved. We are sure that even ward committee members are actually involved. You would have seen when the project manager, Mr. Kopong, was presenting. Kopong, if you were to put the slide where you are talking about the implementation program, where there are red and yellow colors, indicating the milestones, the date, and what we're going through. If you can, you can put it on the screen, so that members could see that we, in terms of where we are, we really sure that what we are doing indeed will bear fruit, because we are following up on each and every milestone that has been put aside. I think for me is that on a high level I'll be able to talk to those issues. I think the details the HOD and the CEOs will be able to deal with that. But what I want to say about the use of coal, the idea was conceived, we thought we were going to use coal. We're going to have a coal plant. Unfortunately, as we proceeded, there was an issue about the use of coal, and we said we need to look at an alternative way of doing things. And as you know, that things have suddenly changed. You know what is happening in Europe, all of us, we are aware. You will have seen even a video which is showing a lot of coal going to Europe, and Europe now also changing what they thought it's something which belongs to the past. Now they've opted to use coal. I think for me, this is something that we also going to have to look at, and also that the portfolio committee is also raising this matter. It's something that we need to deal with. I think the South African government as a whole, we are talking about just transition. Just transition meaning that we cannot just abruptly abandon the endowment of the country. We have to find a way of mitigating the inheritance that we have with the future. So I'm saying this is something that we'll all have to engage with and finally find a solution which will be an everlasting solution to the problem of our province. We know ourselves for a fact that this SEZ are game changers for Musina Makado, for people of Zambia, but also for people of South Africa and Limpopo in particular, and South Africa in general, because there's not been a magnificent project like that. We talk about 150 billion projects. If you look at all SEZ, and it's not like a white elephant project that we are talking about. It's a real project that we are making a commitment to. And even the roads, you will see the infrastructure. The roads in Pitakomu, we're dealing with the roads, we're dealing with the issue of water, and we are also dealing with roads in Musina Makado. There's a member who asked about the abundance of water in Skukuni. Indeed, there's water in the dam that dwarf dam. Unfortunately, there were agreements that were made with private sector to say that they will build a reticulation plant, They did not do that, but we are engaging with them, and eventually people will have to use that water, both for human consumption and for industrialization, because it is not on our side, not in favor on our side for our people to have water, but at the same time we industrialize our province. We are on that, we are dealing with that matter. I thought by the time I finished talking, Mr. Kopong would put the slide there. But I will ask first the HOD, Dr. Kopong, Dr. Masuga, and Takal, just to answer some of the questions that are asked, and then I will summarize. Let's start with Masuga.
Dr. Masuga.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chairperson of the committee, and thanks to the Honorable MEC for responding to some of the critical questions raised by the Honorable members. Let me also start by acknowledging and welcoming some of the advices and the strategic input made by honorable members on how we can navigate through these challenges that we are confronted with of creating opportunities for our people. And also welcome the broad response as it relates to the delays that affected the Musina Makado Special Economic Zone. The MEC has indicated that indeed our journey was interrupted by the whole process of compliance with the regulations as it relates to the environment. It took us over 2 years to finally get an environmental approval. It is a process that we had to go through, we had to comply with. We are a law-abiding a corporate citizen as an entity, and we had to follow to due process, and unfortunately we didn't have control over that process, and it has affected us very badly in terms of the progress that we could have registered by now in creating these opportunities. And we must also record in this meeting that that struggle is not completely over, it's still continuing. There are some of the interested and affected parties that are not happy with the outcomes of the authorization, and they still want to challenge the process. And as the MEC says, they are entitled by law to exhaust the due process of the law. Having said that, Chair, there is a question relating to our coordination and challenges regarding district development model. And we can confirm in this meeting, Chair, that we work very well with the stakeholders in Vembe, led by the district municipality, which is the lead champion of coordinating all efforts in the district for a coordinated approach to development. We participate in their DDM coordination meetings, including the intergovernmental relations forums. Actually, this very week, we participated in both the technical and the political one. And our plans of the SEZ are integrated into the IDPs of both Musina and Makado and the district municipality. And there's a very good relationship and ownership of the project by the authorities. And that also includes the traditional leaders. Vembe is one of the districts that is predominantly rural and traditionally led, and yet organized. The local house in Vembe is very organized and fully supportive of the project. They take full ownership of the project as theirs, that is destined to liberate them and their children from the shackles of poverty and unemployment. And they are very supportive of the project, and we can only appreciate that support that we are enjoying from the stakeholders in Vembe. And there was a question as it relates to Africa Free Continental Trade Area. In our engagements with our colleagues from the BTI, I see they've actually challenged us that because of our strategic location, we are an ideal candidate to epitomize the practical realities of this initiative. And we have taken that challenge and we see ourselves as becoming the real champion over time once the SEZ become operational full swing. Already, if you look at the efforts that we are making in collaborating with the neighboring countries, especially Zimbabwe, to drink their water very soon, it will tell you how we go about in integrating ourselves both economically and socially. But also we think if we are to move with speed to create the production capacity at the Bedbridge border post using the MMSEZ as a platform, then we'll be able to create an opportunity wherein the products that are sourced in the country to supply the up north market, they are not sourced from the coastal region and the metropoles of the country such as Gauteng, but they are produced right next to the border. And we think through this SEZ, we can create that productive capacity create value-added products that are beneficiated that can then feed into that market. Because many countries in the up north, they eat food from this country, they use electronics from this country, they use machinery from this country and equipment on a daily basis. And we think through the SEZ, we can then create that production capacity so that they source them right there next to the border. And that will be part and parcel of our realization of the ideals of the free continental trade area going forward. And of course, bottlenecks will continue to be there, including the free flow of goods at the border. And we are collaborating with a new border management authority for the purpose of participating in the one border, one-stop border post and the ease of movement of goods emanating from the SEZ from the border so that we remove those bottlenecks, and the relationship is very well and we're collaborating well in that regard. The issue of filming and ecotourism, as the MEC would have spoken to, it is slightly more outside our scope of industrialization, but of course it's an opportunity for our sister entities such as Limpopo Tourism Agency. And of course we see that opportunity once the SEZ becomes operational, you cannot avoid that unintended consequence of ecotourism opportunities. More especially if we're to succeed within a short space of time to realize the development of the Musina Dam. It will create opportunities for ecotourism that, of course, would need to be exploited further and repackaged in such a way that they can be well coordinated by our other sister entities, including the Department of Economic Development itself. There is another question on the issue of the revival of the airport between Tulamele and Musina. And that small airport, there has been attempts by the provincial government and private partners and the traditional authorities from the kingdom of the Bavenda to develop it, but there hasn't been success in that regard. And as things stand now, it is not a primary priority target on our radar screen because we are focusing on the existing old military landing strip that is now demilitarized in Musina to then convert into a commercial airport with an international status. And that is why we're talking about the transfer of the land into the hands of the municipality. And ourselves and the municipality will then collaborate jointly to package a triple P model wherein we can then attract a private sector investment to develop, operate, and later transfer such an asset to us as government by building the necessary, the requisite infrastructure to make the airport operational over time. And similarly, there is a question around the issue of the airport, the dam, and the smart city and the timelines. as you would have noticed in our presentation, we're saying that whilst we are preoccupied with the industrialization within the zone automatically creates some opportunities outside the zone, which are in one way interlinked with the work that we are doing. For example, if we've got investors that have to come to the zone, and the only nearest airport is Polokwane, it defeats the purpose, and therefore there is an opportunity to develop the airport. Hence, we are getting ourselves involved in participating in that whole process of building airlifting capabilities for both a passenger and cargo. And similarly, as I say, it's difficult at this point in time to speak specifics in terms of time frames, because as things stand, we do not even have control of that piece of land to then package a feasibility study and engage with the private sector. Secondly, with the dam, we're engaging with the DWS and the potential investors in that project to make that dam a public, a private partnership, because there isn't sufficient resources from the fiscus to support the development of that project. And once we have packaged that bankability phase of the dam, that bankability phase will come with a project implementation plan that speaks to the time frames on what are the milestones of the project and at what point will the project become operational. With regard to the city, New Smart City is going to become the consequence of small efforts, big and small, that we make in between now and the next 10 to 15 years, and the well-coordinated interventions which, if aggregated, they will then lead us into a developed community that has got features that are in sync with the character of a smart city in terms of smart economy, smart environment, smart work, smart governance, and smart mobility and smart way of doing things. Hence, we're also investing a lot of efforts and resources in technology, because the part and parcel of our realizing the smart city, you need the deployment of technology. And we think if this small effort that we're talking about it of having the industrial park taking off and the new college built inside the SEZ, which brings a new community within a short space of time inside the SEZ, that will then begin to lay a foundation for that smart city going forward, so that the Musina town grows towards the south and the Makado town goes towards the north, and the two towns come together as we develop the south side of our project into an ecosystem of development opportunities that will then later translate into a smart city. In conclusion, Chair, there is an issue that relates to coal, and I think the MEC has ably responded to it. We are only a small player in the large scheme of things, and the national policy is formulated at the national space. All what we do is we feed ourselves in that policy space and participate. And as things stand now, even if you were to invest in coal resources, one, you'll not easily find funding from the capital market. But secondly, there is beginning to be a new narrative that seeks to say that if you produce value-added products for export market using dirty power, there will then be new dirty power tax going forward to discourage such a flow of such a commodities going forward. And we think it's a risk that we may not want to venture into. And we observing the patterns at the global scale in Europe, in Southeast Asia, in America, around the retreat back into coal. And we can only wait for the guidance of the national government on what contribution and to what level of participation can we have in that space. But that having said, Chair, we really appreciate the guidance that has been provided. And the only issue that we do not have the specific answers, Chair, now, is around the question on the percentage of beneficiation of resources and what is remaining in the country and what is going outside the country. We do not have such information at this point in time, because these projects are investor-led and such information would then come from them. But safe to say that, Chair, that at the beginning of 2021, National Cabinet took a decision to impose an export tariffs or duties on the export of raw chrome materials or the raw chrome ore to discourage exporting of raw materials of chrome ore and to encourage beneficiation domestically. But unfortunately, since that decision was taken by cabinet, we haven't seen a concomitant action following that decision from either the DTIC or government in its totality. And we think it's a matter that the committee could follow through to establish as to what happened to that cabinet decision, but also what are the efforts of national government to discourage export of raw materials, which disadvantage beneficiation and creation of opportunities in the local economy. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much, the CEO. Who's next now in terms of the presentation response, MEC?
It's myself, Chairperson.
Okay, you can come in.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chair. I think on the district development model, very similar to CEO Masoha, in the district of Skukuni, in fact, ourselves, as I made the presentation, that the DTIC through this approach of formulating concrete partnership between the province and the local, we are one of the SEZs where we have got a very clear agreement around who does what and at what time. So we think in terms of the district development model is well entrenched for us, also linking into the IDPs of the district and continuously engaging with the local mayors through the MEC and the various structures in the district. Now, and similarly, the traditional leadership is very much engaged in the Skukuni district. We will always improve, but on continuously we engage with the traditional leadership to make sure that we feed back to the communities and they know and buy in terms of the work that we are doing. For the 348 million cubic meters of water, the members will know that most of the questions that get asked by investors when you market and try and entice them to locate is whether you have got water. So there is a develop dam which has got the numbers that I've indicated, 348 million cubic meters of water. And our plan in the medium to long term is to pipe the water to support the SEZ development, but also ensuring that the communities where we will be piping the water through and around the area will benefit from the water that is that we are referring to. But yes, it's true, Limpopo is not a water dominant region, but it is more the capacity that has been developed. Now, just on the mineral beneficiation question, I think there were two questions that were asked on the local beneficiation. Just to start off with the numbers, Chairperson, is chrome is 12.2 million tons produced in South Africa. Of that, 46% is exported, which represents 5.6 million tons. And this 46% exported, 84% of that goes to China. And then 54% is used locally in South Africa. That's the numbers that we have on chrome. But on the platinum group metals, we just have a value that there is 11.9 billion US dollars. export value of platinum group metals. So the issue of beneficiation, as Masoa was saying, is very, very critical for us. The members will know what the automotive industry development program has done in the country, especially for Tshwane SEZ and other SEZs. We think, as he indicated, such export tax tariffs on tax can assist. Or the other way of looking at it would be to perhaps suggest a percentage of SLPs by mines going towards supporting local beneficiation, especially in this SEZ that we are talking about. And mines are eager to look at that as long as it can be something that can be considered from a government point of view. Then the issue of the energy by smelters. Yes, the member is the honourable member is correct in saying the smelters are consuming quite a lot of energy. We are aware that well, these are existing smelters. I think it must be noted that already there are existing smelters that are the largest in the world, both the Samanco smelter and the Lion smelter owned by Glencore. So they are existing, it's not planned smelters. Now, we are aware that they are busy with some of the renewable energy projects that they are setting up. And they are also looking at the work that we are doing as the SEZ to bring in renewable energy to support their development. And lastly, in guaranteeing the milestones, honorable members, the milestones that I've presented were done through a workshop between DTIC and the municipalities and the MEC, the HOD. So that's a guarantee that these milestones were really confirmed through that partnership. And in terms of guaranteeing their implementation is that we do have oversight by the MEC. And then we do have technical committees, and we present to the various clusters in the province where they hold us accountable if we haven't met some of the milestones. I think that's what I was responding to, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the swift response. MEC, are we done?
I thought Takani, somebody will throw the question on the industrial part.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much, honorable members. Let me just take through the questions on the industrial part. I think those are the questions. I think the first one was raised by the honorable Wayne Maxim, I think. I think one was just on the presentation. We will send the school secretariat the updated version. There's not much difference between what we presented, just that we add some analysis, particularly relating to demographics and jobs on the one that we have presented now, as opposed to the one that was sent. But we will arrange to be sent through the secretariat. There was a question raised in terms of the issue around the impact of the money that has been invested. Perhaps maybe one should indicate, since MECD touched base on that, that the industrial park that we have has been inherited from the previous dispensation. And as such, most of them require to be revitalized, revamped, for us to be able to continue to attract and retain tenants. So the support that we have received in terms of return on investment on the money that come from the DTIC, as we have indicated, have assisted us basically first to, during the time of, if you look at fence and other activities that we've done, to assist in creating jobs during the refurbishment or construction. We mentioned about 11 jobs on the Nkowankowa site, 11 SMEs on the Nkowankowa site, and 125 jobs doing it on the Bongwa side as well, from jobs and the SME support, respectively. But most importantly, it then helped us to sustain the jobs that are being created in those industrial parks, because those are what we call the fence that is considered one of the highest security type of fence, which then help us to ensure that we are able to then retain their tenants, creating and sustaining jobs and any potential new jobs. The same applies to the funding that we utilize for CHIHU, where during construction, 8 local SMEs, as we indicated, were involved, and the 61 jobs were created during that phase. But most important is also the ability for us to attain or attract new tenants. 4 tenants were attracted to move in into the CHIHU industrial park. And then at the same time, the sustaining of those jobs for us is very, very critical from a developmental return point of view, with the funding that has been put in on, to revamp this old industrial park that we have. And then there was, I think the analysis is correct, honorable member, relating to jobs. We see agro processing, largely labor intensive. And if you see that in CHIHU, the example that you have put forward, where more jobs were created by just one entity as opposed to other jobs by others. And I must also say that it is also largely on the type of tenants that we attract. Because us as a leader and the province, we continuously search for tenants who would like to partake and pay the lease rentals in our property. So that sometimes we find that in terms of what type of tenants they are is normally controlled by whoever we are able to attract. So in this case, on the CHIHU one, the ability for us to attract this client, it then helps. But it's not something that you can easily control and choose that you will not be able to take this and that particular tenant. Because for us, it's for those tenants to come in, bring in jobs, but at the same time, we are able to sustain ourselves as the institution in terms of the rental income that we receive from the tenant. The other additional challenges that we face, we did mention some of the challenges, community expert, but we also have challenges. They are more relating to the area of water and electricity. If one, for example, look at Nkowa side, the water supply is not 100%, it's not available at all time. And then the load shedding is also a challenge from that affects the tenant. When they're doing their production activities and then the load shedding comes in, it is becoming a serious challenge. Same applies to CHIHU, where you find that at times the water supply is erratic, and also the issue of load shedding. As a solution for this going forward, we are engaging to look at bringing in alternative energy in the space that we have in our industrial park, such as putting in the solar plants within the industrial park. We are looking at that so that it can be able to address the issues, particularly relating to the constant supply of energy, electricity into the park. Honorable MEC did mention or responded already on the issue of the Sayandima industrial park, which is indeed require a lot of revamping there and revitalization. What I can just add there is that we are engaging with the GTIC to do what they have done in terms of support to us on CHIHU and Nkowankowa. So also, we did apply for the IPRP program for support to also revitalize this area of the industrial park at this stage. So I think those are really the questions that were posted on the issue relating to the industrial park. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Over to you, MEC.
The last person will be the acting HOD, if you want to say something.
The acting HOD?
Thank you very much, Honorable MEC, and greetings to the members. Most of the questions that have been asked have been responded to, but perhaps I want to on an issue that was raised around the development of the Mau Nawat Airport, to say that the provincial government has got team wherein they are developing regional airports and connecting them to the international Polokwane, or Mau Nawat is one of those that are in the list that are being considered for development under the Department of Transport and Community Safety. So it is the attraction in Bembe and that part of the world. I think another question which I would like to comment on is the issue of a trade.
I think the HOD is a connectivity problem.
HOD.
To say that as a province and Buyot, by the project being a member of
HOD? I think you have a connectivity problem. We will appreciate that if you can hang up with your story, because we can't hear you. You'll pardon us for that. I think, in summary, Chairperson, that is our presentation as a team leader. We also have you to say where there are issues that you think we have not adequately replied. We may want to deport written answers. I think what we may need to do is that we will ask the team to make a follow-up on a written format. All the questions that were asked, and then we'll send in a written answer so that the members may be comfortable about what you have explained. Thank you very much. Thank you, Chair.
And okay. Thank you very much, MEC. There's also DTIC, Maude Molefiani. Sorry for that pronunciation, but is dealing with SEZ Industrial Park in the DTIC. Can you have just 2 minutes also to get in and indicate as to as a department, because there are questions that we directed to the department. What is it that you're doing in terms of assisting the province on the issues of the SEZ and also the issue of industrial parks? As there was a question here in terms of the funding of the IPRP that is solely funded by the DTIC through critical infrastructure programs. with no contribution from the from other government agencies and also the local sphere. Are you here?
I'm here, Chair. Am I audible?
Yes, you are audible. Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Chair and the Honourable Members, Honourable MEC and colleagues. Let me just deal with two things. The first one would be, what is the DTI? I think Honourable Macbeth raised an issue about the delays insofar as accelerating the development of SCZs and what is the role of the DTIC. And can we just focus on service delivery issues and forget about the development? I must indicate that part of the conscious decision that government has taken is to develop a specially balanced economic development based on economic potential of all the regions. If we were to follow what Honorable Cuthbert is saying, we're basically going to perpetuate the existing spatial planning that only benefits few areas. An example would be Gauteng as a region, Cape Town, Durban, Pietermaritzburg, and PE. All these regions combined, which are few, they contribute over 60% of the country's GDP, and many of them do not even have resource endowments. And these few areas combined, they constitute less than 40% of the landmass. So essentially, it means that if we're to focus on just doing what we're currently doing, would perpetually develop these few regions. And the challenge would be that all these areas that are underdeveloped, people in those areas will flock into these cities, and those cities will not be able to keep up with the backlog of infrastructure as it's happening in Gauteng, in Durban, and many other areas. So part of what we are doing is to ensure that we identify strategic areas that can help us drive the economy of the country through reindustrialization and industrial decentralization. So Musina Makhado has been identified as one of those areas. And I think the CEO has also forgot to mention that one of the things that we are doing there is to explore a cross-border SCZ to facilitate SCFTA trade issues. Now, the fact is that there is no single SCZ in the world that has been able to develop rapidly within a short space of time. We only have TASAs, because when we started, we already had investments. So it was investment-led. But where government tries to lead the development, we're obviously going to have to spend some time. And I think the lessons learned in areas such as the trade port and Guha is that, you know, when we developed Guha, everyone was criticizing us as people who are developing White Elephant. For, I think, the first 10 years, there was no single investment in Guha. Dube Trade Port was conceptualized in the 90s. It only picked up later in the late 90s, early 2000s. So all of these SCZs that we've developed in the country did not pick up at an end, especially where we are developing a greenfield. The cost implications are such that government will not be able to even develop at a much faster rate. The investment to attract investors in those areas will take time. So at the moment, we appreciate the development that is taking place in the Musina Makhado, and as DTIC, we're quite excited with the infrastructure rollout that is currently happening. And of course, one of the challenges that MEC and the CUS have indicated is that we've taken a long time struggling with the EIA issues because of the opposition. So it's not because government or province does not have capacity, but it's because we're dealing with issues that are beyond the their control. So, Honourable Buen, our position as the DTIC is that we would continue to support all the areas that are strategic to develop the country that have resource endowments, where we could potentially convert comparative advantages into competitive advantages, and of course, take competitive advantages and convert them into industrial production activities. The second one was around the industrial parks, as mentioned by the Honorable Bue. The chair, part of what we are currently doing in Dubasi, I think in the CEO's leaders presentation, we have seen that they identified Burgersfort, for example, as one of the areas where they will be developing industrial parks. We have actually started with that. The Dubasi, Dubasi SCZ is in Dubasi, is in Burgersfort, Lydenburg area. Instead of waiting for designation, which we have done in many parts of the country, there we have started with the development of an industrial park. The program manager, Ntate Kgopong, has mentioned that they've secured the supplier park from the Glencore, which has existing industrial tenants. We also have 280 hectares that we've secured. We're going to be developing that park as an industrial park while we're dealing with the regulatory processes of getting the designation. And in testing the 20 model, we have also developed a quadripartite agreement, which locked in all the relevant spheres of government, the four partners being the DIC, the province, district, and the local municipality towards that side, to ensure that we accelerate the development in that region. All of these stakeholders will have a critical role to play insofar as accelerating the approval of land preparation issues at the local level, DTI contributing towards infrastructure through a CIP critical infrastructure program while waiting for designation so that they can qualify for the SEZ fund. And of course, the province contributing funding as well towards the development. So that is how the new model for industrial park will develop, where all spheres of government would contribute towards the development. That is geared and of course supported by a strong value proposition. So Chair, those are the two issues that I just wanted to add. But as the DTI has indicated, we're working intimately with the province and the two initiatives. And I think we're quite excited with the developments that are taking place in the province. Thank you.
Mr. Mait?
Hello?
Mr. Maud, are we done?
Yes, sir. Honorable Chair, I'm done on my side.
Okay. No, thank you very much. I think we have done with all this process here. Not unless there is any other clarity-seeking question, but as we've indicated that you will get the written response from your side, but we'll make it a point that our secretariat facilitate all those questions that have been brought to you. Then from there, we seemingly are we done with our discussions when we're able to deal with both the presentations. For now, secretariat, can we see the agenda?
Chair, we concluded the business for the day. Chair, it's just for you to conclude the meeting, Chair.
Oh, okay. No, if that is the case, again, no, thank you very much, MEC and your team and the entire department. Thank you also from our secretariat, MPs. I think we had a very progressive meeting. But what we like to do is to come down in Polokwane, because our programs in terms of oversight, it shows direct to the Mosina Mokado, SEZ, and also the industrial park. We will communicate to you, and we'll come down and see what you were talking about here. And what else? I think I would like to inform the committee that the rules committee has agreed to a name change for the committee. SC, it been 80 seat on the 8th of September 2022. The committee new name is therefore now the Portfolio Committee on Trade, Industry and Competition. You will recall that you had linked or integrated two departments. Initially, it was EDD and the DTI, to be DTIC. And now, officially, it has been SAAT seat on the 8th of September. We officially called the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition. Furthermore, I would like to thank the Department of Economic Development and Tourism and Limpopo Economic Agency for their presentation. Any other announcement, Secretariat, if none, we close the meeting.
Chair, just our next meeting is next Tuesday and next Wednesday, and I will communicate the agenda items in respect of that, Chair. Thanks.
Okay. Our next meeting is Wednesday, Tuesday and Wednesday. The communication will be sent by the Secretariat. Thank you very much for the participation. The meeting stands adjourned. Thank you.
Malibongwe.
Thank you, Chair.